books, kind of dealing with some different things. We're not going to get there now, but just something else I want to preach tonight out of Daniel, but we'll be in some of these books. Ezekiel, Daniel will be very common ground for us over the next several weeks, and Psalm, look, you know, just many, many places, but it's all going to be good. Looking forward to it. Daniel chapter 1 tonight, and we'll start reading in verse number 1. I'll read down several verses, and then we'll get right to the message. Daniel chapter 1, if you're there, say amen. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. The king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. The king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, to whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Let's pray. Lord, we do love you tonight. We thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we thank you for these, thy people that have come to hear your word. I pray now you'd help us. I pray, Lord, you'd illuminate us. Lord, speak to our hearts. Do something tonight through the message. Lord, just pray your Holy Spirit would roam up and down the aisles and in and out of the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, that, Lord, you'd do what only you can do. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. We'll give you all the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to bring a message tonight out of this text simply on this thought, choosing right. Choosing right. Here in our text, very familiar, really the story, God's chosen people had been taken captive by the Babylonian army. This captivity was ultimately due to their disobedience. It was due to their disobedience of God's law and God's word. It was due to their disowning of God and his principles. There were somewhere around 50,000 people that had been exiled. 50,000 people had been ripped from their homeland. Within that crowd that had been taken, there was a young man by the name of Daniel. Daniel was immediately picked out of the crowd and selected for special service in the king's palace. I want you to understand tonight, Daniel had been almost immediately thrust into a society, put and placed into a culture that did not line up with his godly beliefs, nor did it line up with his Christian character. Daniel was at a place where he was fixing to have to make some very important decisions. Daniel was at a place where he was going to have to make a choice. And the choice that he was going to have to make was whether or not he was going to be swept away by the evil tide of the evil society, or whether he was going to stand against the current. Can I just say to you tonight, any old dead fish can float downstream? They say that, you know, Christians are weak people and the weak-minded people, but I'll tell you something, ain't no sissy ever stood for God. He had a decision to make. Was he going to go with the new way, or was he going to stick with God's way? And we'll see as we go through this passage that Daniel chose right. There are two young men here tonight who likewise are fixing to face unfamiliar territory. They both grew up in a Christian home. They both went to a Christian school, graduated from a Christian school. They both are faithful to church. They both have parents that are Christians and that love the Lord. They themselves seem to have a love for the Lord. Yet shortly they're going to be thrust out into the world where many people will not agree with or practice what they believe. They'll not agree with their biblical beliefs. They'll not agree with their biblical convictions. They'll go and attend a college, possibly where many of their classmates as well, possibly as their professors, may not appreciate their faith, may not appreciate their stance when it comes to God, when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to sin, when it comes to things like smoking and cursing and homosexuality and pornography. And all you understand, it's going to be pushed at them and they're going to have to make a choice, just like Daniel had to make a choice. There are others here tonight that aren't too far from there. I'm talking about too far from being in that situation. Nathan graduates, what, next year, I think. You have Bradley coming up. You have several others, Emily and Kayla and Travis and several others. Listen, I'm telling you, it'll be here before we know it. And just right around the corner, there's going to be some choices to make. I used to, for years, I taught the junior age kids, taught the teenagers too. But I used to tell them constantly, I said, listen, I'm telling you, you hear me. And some of them are at that point. Some of them are already past that point. And I've seen some decisions and choices they made. I'd say, listen, the day is going to come that your mama's not going to be there, your daddy's not going to be there, the pastor's not going to be there, your youth leader's not going to be there. It's going to be you and God, and you have a choice to make. Right now, you choose to come to church because you're made to come to church. The day is going to come, it's going to be your choice. There are those here that are fixing to be there. Some are already there. There are some others that are, you deal with it every day. You go to work every single day and you have to make choices because every day at your work you already deal with these things. The dirty jokes are being told. Every day you're invited to go after work and have a drink with the boys. Every Monday you hear about the exciting weekend that somebody had and how they danced and how they partied all night, and you're tempted to check it out for yourself. Maybe you're missing something. Listen, and every day many of you are faced with choices. I believe tonight, listen, that we live in a day and time where Christians everywhere, listen, are standing in the valley of decision. Standing at a place where we're going to have to decide whether or not we're going to stand for God or if we're going to go in the ways of the world. God's setting this thing up so there can be no middle ground. And I believe tonight He's crying out for every one of us. And He's saying to everyone, who is on the Lord's side? We're going to have to make some hard choices and some hard decisions. And it's my desire that when we're faced with these choices, we'll choose right. As we look at this passage tonight, there's several things I want you to notice about Daniel here, about some choices he made. As we begin tonight, notice first of all the popularity of his choice. Look with me starting at verse number 8. The Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself, the portion of the king's meat. Those first two words ought to tell you how popular his choice was. Doesn't say but Daniel and the rest of the crowd. Doesn't say but Daniel and many other people. The Bible says, but Daniel, it doesn't tell us there's anybody else that made that same decision. Hey, can I say this? There's a whole lot of other young Jewish boys who had been chosen and that were there. Look with me starting at verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, such as has ability in them to stand the king's palace, whom they might teach to learn the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision, the king's meat. So nourishing them 3 years, at the end thereof they might stand before. There are many others there, said, and the king appointed them, in verse number 5, verse 1, but Daniel. But Daniel. All those other men with him who had been selected for special service, they chose to go with the flow. They chose to go with the crowd. They chose to just not ruffle any feathers and not try to take any kind of stand. Can I say something to you? This is becoming more true every single day. In the day and age in which you and I live, if you're going to make a choice to stand for good and to stand for right, there's many times, friend, you're going to have to stand alone. I promise you, you're going to find it. You're going to have to stand alone. Many times it's not direct opposition. Many times it's not exactly that red devil with the pitchfork coming in after you. What you're going to figure out is something's just not right. Got many preachers and friends that I love and respect, or did respect, but the fact of the matter is, I've had to cut those ties. I've had to stand alone. I'm not somebody that wants to fight, and I don't call people a heretic, the drop of a hat, and all those kinds of things. But I'm just learning, listen, that sometimes if you're going to stand for right and for good, you're going to have to stand alone. If I've said for years, it's about Christ for me, it's not about a camp. If this group goes this way and another group goes the other way and that camp goes that way, I'm going to do my best to stay with Christ, to stay with God, to stay with the Word of God. Listen, we're quick to sing, "I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus." And we're quick to add, "Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow." And I'm telling you, in the day and age in which we live, that what we're singing and have been singing, we're fixing to have to live. In many situations, you're either going to have to stand alone or not stand at all. Because what you and I believe and the convictions that you and I have that are based on the Word of God, they're no longer popular. In fact, they have never been popular, but they're even less popular now. The popularity of his stand. Notice the second thing. We see the period of his choice. I want you to understand, when you study out the life of Daniel, at best, Daniel was a teenager here. Many believe he was even younger. No exact age on him, but he was somewhere between a junior age and a teenage young man. Listen, I want to say this. You don't have to be saved for years and years and 40 years or 50 years before you begin acting like you're saved and before you begin making right choices. You don't have to be saved forever. You don't have to have, you know, all kinds of plaques of discipleship on your wall. You don't have to be a veteran saint or up in years before you start living for God. Now, if that's when you got saved, praise the Lord. Start then and serve God then. But I'm saying, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 11, we've dealt with it recently, remember now thy Creator, the days of thy youth. Remember them now. The Bible tells us, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. Teenagers, you can be an example. I want to take it further. Teenagers, you ought to be an example. I think oftentimes to myself, truly I do, I think about this a lot. I think about, when are we going to get a young person who will have, I mean, man, look at the stuff, praise God, I think we've got some good young people. But I'm talking about, especially you look out a little further from here, and I think there's some other good young people out in society. But I'm saying, listen, when are we going to get a young person who will have enough sense about them to stop the circle of madness? When is a young person going to come along that don't need to make all the mistakes by themselves? When is a young person that's going to listen to wisdom and instruction and listen to the Word of God? I'm talking this and about the period of his choice. He made the decision while he was still a young man. Didn't wait till he was old. Well, when I get married, I'll serve God. When I get out of college, I'll serve God. I don't know about you, but I've never yet met any person that said to me, "I wish I'd got saved later in life." But how many of you met, how many have I met, that have so many regrets that would to God had got saved earlier in life? Some got saved later in life, but they still never made the choice to live for God, give their life to God. We see the period of his choice. I want you to notice the third thing. This is very important. Notice the place of his choice. Look back with me at verse number 8. But Daniel purposed, now watch this, underline these three words in your Bible, in his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart. Friend, listen to me. This was a whole lot more than lip service. This was a whole lot more than some decision that we made with everybody else when we gathered around at camp with 3,000 other people at the altar. I'm saying this was something different than we got up in front of a crowd and said, "Well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that." The Bible says here that Daniel, that he purposed in his heart. This was something deep down, a decision that he made on the inside. a decision he made deep in his heart. He wasn't influenced by some outside source. He was not influenced by anybody else. This was a decision he made in the depths of his heart. He wasn't trying to get some kind of attention by yelling at the top of his lungs, "Well, I'm not going to do that, and that's against God, and I'm not going to do that." Listen, this wasn't about him being labeled as a super Christian. His motivation was not self-promotion, but he had a holy desire in his heart to please God. Daniel had a holy desire in his heart to live for God. His choice reflected what was in his heart. He purposed in his heart. And I tell you something tonight. If you don't listen to me, young people and old people alike, if you don't have a desire in your heart to live for God and to love God and to please God, then you're not going to make the choice to. He purposed in his heart. If you don't have that desire, you're not going to make the right choices. Because I want to tell you something. Listen, when it comes down, when it's no longer popular and you're no longer applauded, when you go from being famous for your stand to being heralded a fool because of your stand, you're not going to continue to make the right choices. Tyler and Josh, let me say this to you. Hey, listen, at Christian school, Mr. Jones, he's applauding you and the staff is applauding you and everybody else, hopefully, they're applauding you and, well, they should be, but I'll tell you this, there's a world out there, they're not going to applaud you. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to knock you down. They're not going to be on your side. And I'm telling you, listen, it's something that you got a purpose in your heart. Oh, listen, unless your choices come from a heart that have a deep, holy desire, it's easy to serve God in here. It's easy to live for God around here and be strong and courageous sitting in here around a bunch of other people that believe like you believe. But when you're confronted by a world, listen to me, that every single idea and every agenda flies in the face of a holy God and everything he stands for, can I tell you something? There better be, oh yes, there better be way deep down inside of you a holy desire and something where you're in the depths of your heart. You said, I'm going to live for God. If everybody else goes the other way, I'm going to stay with God. That's not something that you can just say. It's a decision that's got to be made. Joshua's going 300-500 miles away. Tyler's, who knows where, how far he's going away. Listen, that we better have something down in our heart. Because if not, you're not going to make the right choices. I've watched young people gung-ho at camp, and camp's a great place, a great thing. Many of you are going to camp soon. Make decisions. Some of them called for this and called. I understand sometimes emotional experience. I get that, but I don't tell you, there's a whole lot of people in the ministry today because of youth camp. Now, listen, but sometimes they'll go and they're fired up and everybody else is fired up and the glory comes down. And I'm saying it's a great time there. And they think, man, this is exactly, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to live for God. But they get back and they figure out real quick their neighborhood kids, they don't think the same way. The people at their school could care less about the Bible, could care less about that Christian song, could care less about going to church. So what makes the difference? You better have something in your heart. You better have purposed something in your heart. It's easy to serve God here. But it's, listen, all of us got to leave these four walls. Go out into a world that could care less about your desire to serve God. Don't wait on this world or the people in it to decide to do things God's way. I'm saying, listen, you better make sure that there's a drive and a holy desire in your heart for holiness, because your actions will always follow your heart. There's a reason that Jeremiah said the heart is deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked, who can know it? I think about Solomon, and we've just went through Solomon's life, the book of Ecclesiastes. You know what Solomon said toward the end of his life? He said this, guide your heart in the way. How many of you ever heard somebody say, well, just follow your heart? That's horrible advice, because your heart's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. You better guide your heart. And it says this, guide your heart in the way. In what way? In God's way. Listen, we better have a desire. a lot of people who may be taking the right measures. They may even have the right message. Some people just, they got their own motive. They will, oh, I'll stand for God. I said, there are a lot of just troublemakers. Let's just be honest, okay? It's in every area. It's even in the fundamental Baptist movement. I know people, and they've tried to get me on there. Out, you know, I'm for it. I'm for standing for right and for God. But I'm not going to get sidetracked up in Washington when I got a church to pastor, okay? I'm for it and all that kind of stuff. But I'm simply saying, some people sound like causing trouble. Our stand ought to not be for that, but there better be some things purposed. The popularity of his choice, the period of his choice, the place in his heart. But you notice another thing, the portion in his choice. Look what he says in verse number 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself, watch this, with a portion of the king's meat. Now what's that mean? You see, Daniel wasn't going to dabble in sin. Daniel recognized that just once, just a little portion, just a little bit was a trick of the devil. Because I want to tell you something, Daniel had enough sense to know just once does not exist. Some of you remember the old Lay's potato chip commercials that said nobody can eat just one. There's a lot of truth to that. But I want to tell you, Daniel had enough sense to know that one always leads to another. He's not going to defile himself with a portion, just a little bit. I was talking to somebody just a while ago that was telling me that about a person who drinks, they just drink one glass of wine per day. Just a little portion. How many people have I met that believes it's okay to drink but just not get drunk? Y'all have met those people. The Bible says to abstain from all appearances of evil. Many warnings throughout the Word of God. By the way, what you do in moderation, what I do in moderation, our kids will do in excess. Others will do in excess. Oh, sure, Daniel was labeled as a fanatic, but he wasn't deceived by the peril of the portion. And when you take a stand like Daniel did and you make choices in these days to come, I'm not going to defile myself with just a portion. I'm not going to dabble in your sin. You're going to be called a fanatic when you make up your mind, hey, I'm not going there even one time. I'm not going to go there and just be the designated driver. I'm not going to go there and just take you there, drop you off and come back. I'm not going to have a part in the portion. You see, all the devil wants, all he wants is just an inch. And you give him an inch, and he'll become your ruler. That's all he wants. Just let him in a little bit. You start making up your mind, I'm not going. What's the big deal, man? You're one of those Bible thumpers. You're one of those Jesus freaks. Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart he wouldn't defile himself with a portion. Just a little bit of it. Make up your mind, I'm not going to have any of it. I'm not going to shop at Target. I'm going to be honest with you. The company I can't stand more than any company out there, Starbucks. If you drink coffee there, please don't ever bring that mess in this church. I'm being honest. I can't stand Starbucks. I can't stand nothing about them. It ain't that I don't like coffee. They got hot chocolate. But hey, listen, I don't like Starbucks. You do a little research and you'll figure out why. Got their little false god on their cup and all kind of telling people they don't want Christians in there. I made up my mind, I ain't going to Starbucks. You're a fanatic. Ain't going to Target either. He said he purposed in his heart he wouldn't defile himself with a portion. Just a little bit. Oh yes, you'll be called a fanatic too. Yeah, Pastor, what's the big deal? It's just a little food. It's just a place to get some coffee. That's what the devil wants you to believe. Just a little of this, just a little of that. Listen, Christians, this world don't just want you to change something about you, but they want to change everything about you. Watch what they want to change. Look at verse number 4. They want to change, first of all, their learning. Verse number 4. Children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom, watch this, they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. They want to change your learning. You look at that same verse, it says, and the tongue, they want to change your language. We're still in the Bible, friend. They want to change your learning. They want to change your language. They want to change more than that. Look at it. Verse number 5. They want to change your lifestyle. And the king appointed them a daily provision. Oh, this is a daily thing of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, nourishing them 3 years. They not only want to change your language, they not only want to change your learning, but they want to change your lifestyle. But that's not all they want to change. Look with me at verse number 7. They want to change their loyalty. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave name, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar. You know what that means? Daniel means God is my judge. Belteshazzar means may Baal protect his life. They want to change their loyalty. Hananiah means Jehovah's gracious. Shadrach means command of Aku, Babylonian moon god. Mishael, who is like God, to Meshach, who is like Aku, Babylonian moon god. Azariah means the Lord helps. Abednego, servant of Nebo, son of Baal. They don't just want to change a little thing about you. They want to change everything about you. But you know what it starts with? Portion. Just a little bit. We're constantly challenged to change. 2020. You know, the news source, 2020, they recently aired a documentary in which a group of teenagers was asked, what do you see is the greatest problem facing teens today? You know what their response was? The greatest problem facing teenagers today. Overwhelmingly, their response was peer pressure. Peer pressure affects all teenagers. It affects some teenagers more than others. Peer pressure is what causes us to behave according to the standards set by a group of people. These standards may be good, but they may also be bad or self-destructive. You know, there's some adults who deal with peer pressure. We adults just call it something else. Peer pressure, listen to me, it's the challenge to change or to conform to another standard, a standard that's set by those around us or the world around us. We're influenced by our culture to interpret success in terms of money, in terms of status, in terms of power. That's what the world tells us is success. Power and money and those kinds of things. But you hear me, the world and the God of this world wants to change you. Well, preacher, what's the big deal? That's what the rest of the crowd said. But Daniel. Rest of the crowd said, what's the big deal? I mean, that guy, he's going to get his head taken off. What's the big deal? That's what the rest of them said. They came from the same place that Daniel came from, but they made a different choice than Daniel. They were of the opinion, when Rome, do as the Romans. But I want to say this. Regardless of our logistics, regardless of where we are, truth doesn't change. Right and wrong does not change. It's the same down there in South Carolina. It's the same in Pensacola, Florida. It's the same all over this world. Right still right, and wrong is still wrong. Doesn't change. No matter our predicament, God's word doesn't change. Our principles don't change. Our standards do not change. Our convictions don't change. I want you to notice another thing. Not only the portion in his choice, but notice the problems of his choice. Look at the end of course, verse number 8. It says, therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs, that he might not defile himself. The Bible speaks there of the prince of the eunuchs. I want you to understand, Daniel had two problems here. Number one, he had a defiance problem. The Bible says he requested that he might not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. He had a defiance problem. I want you to understand that there was a different diet. This meant that Daniel was defying the king's request. The king had said, everyone, this is the diet that I want them to be on. So he has a defiance problem. But I want you to understand, there was a higher authority that Daniel had to obey. You see, the Babylonians were caught up in all kinds of paganism, ritualism, and all kinds of many times they would offer their meat to their false gods, and then after they'd offer their meat to their false gods, they would cook it, and then they would serve it to the people. Sometimes they would pour out wine over their false gods, and then after they poured out their wine over their false gods, they would drink the rest of it. Daniel knew he couldn't eat the food at the king's table, not to mention the type of foods that they were serving, pork and other things that had been forbidden from a young Jewish boy to eat. First of all, he had a defiance problem when he made this choice. By refusing to eat the food from the king's table, he was actually defying the command of the king. Most should understand, Daniel had been given another command by an even higher king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Billy Graham said this. He said, courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. One county clerk took a stand in Kentucky. You know the story, Kim Davis, and then 33 others followed in North Carolina, I believe, Virginia. Some others followed. Some judges jumped on board. Before you know it, many other people had joined on. When you take a stand and honor God, many times you'll encourage others to stand and do right. More important than others standing with you is God standing with you and honoring you. Notice verse number 9. Watch this. I love this. Now God, you ought to connect this, the first two words in verse number 9 with the first two words in verse number 8. You see, first of all, it began, then we talk about the popularity of his choice. Watch this. It began with but Daniel. But then when you get to verse number 9, watch this, but God. You know something I love? Boy, when you take a stand, you'll never stand alone. As Paul said at my first answer, no man stood with me. All forsook me. I pray that it be not laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. I'm glad, listen, but Daniel, but God. Now God, the Bible says. If more people had the faith to do right and honor God, regardless of the consequences, just trusting God, and more people would get to see God protect them and honor them. Somebody said that the reason we'll never see the fourth man in the fire is because we're not willing to risk the fire. By the way, notice verse 18 through 21 of Daniel 1 here. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all, watch this, was found none like Daniel. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom, in all matters, what's that, and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians, astrologers that were in his realm, and Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. You know, God's way always proves to be 10 times better than any other way. He found them 10 times better than all the others. If more people would do it God's way, their life could be 10 times better than it is today. I want you to notice, not only did he have a defiance problem, notice he had a delight problem. You see, I want you to understand, the prince of the eunuch, he had become friends with Daniel. The only reason that the Bible tells us that the Lord had given Daniel favor in the eyes of the people, favor in the eyes of the eunuchs, and favor in the eyes of those in charge. He had become friends with this eunuch, and Daniel, listen, could have allowed their friendship to alter his decision. How many times have you been, that's why it's so important you become friends with the wrong people. They'll alter your decisions. Daniel didn't let it happen. Oh, listen, there's boundaries in their friendship. He wasn't going to let it go, but so far, hey, we can be friends, but if I have to compromise my convictions to be your friend, then I guess we won't be friends. Many times we make the wrong choice because we're afraid that so-called friend will no longer like us. Anybody, listen, that pushes you away from God and pushes you to be disobedient to God, they're not a friend anyway. Well, I don't want them to think I'm a Bible thumper. I mean, the guy kind of likes me, and I'm glad he likes me. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Some people, somebody shows them a little attention, somebody likes them, they'll do things they never would have done just to keep somebody to keep liking them. Listen, Daniel's allegiance was to his God before anything or anyone else. I want you to understand, our life and the direction of it is really simply made up of choices. It is. Whether it be good or bad, whether successful or whether unsuccessful, it'll be ultimately, it will be determined by our choices, the choices that we make. And Daniel chose right. It wasn't always easy. It certainly wasn't popular. But it was worth it. I wonder tonight if there's some young person here, a teenager here, that would want to come and ask God tonight if to help him make some right choices. Listen to me. I am at the place I am today, and everybody in here, I used to make people angry and I'd say this, but it's true. It's true today, it was true when I used to say it. It's before I was ever pastoring, even before I was ever preaching. I tell our mortgage people, I tell them the same thing. I'm at the place I'm at today and you're at the place you're at today. We're all at the same place because of one reason, decisions we've made. Well, you don't understand. Stuff happens and stuff does happen. I can tell you this. You got a while. I'll sit and tell you some things happened in my life. But I made some choices. You've made some choices. And I'm going to tell you something. Wherever you are in 3 years or 5 years or 10 years, it will be because of choices that you make, that you're making now, and that you'll make in the next few years. Whether you're in the house of God, whether you're not, whether you're serving God, whether you're not, whether you got a godly wife, a godly husband, whatever the case is. While we stand for prayer tonight, I wonder if there might be a young people who needs to come and ask God to help them make some right choices. Maybe there's some mamas and daddies here tonight that would come and ask God to help their children. I think of Job. Over in Job, the Bible says there as he's praying for his sons and praying for his daughters, praying for his children on a daily basis. Peradventure, he said they might have sinned. You know, after we've done all we can do, the best thing we can do is fall on our face and beg God to get a hold of that child's heart, that they'd fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe somebody needs to